Our Bibles, and we'll just look up several of these verses together. I'm not going to preach so hard tonight as much as remind us. This group doesn't need me to preach at you so much. We just need to be reminded probably of what we know. In Luke chapter 11, don't turn to verse 1, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. One of the things I find with new Christians, they don't really know how to pray. And often, when somebody gets saved and they don't have a spiritual background, you get together like the ladies break up for prayer, and you'll get a partner to say, oh, I don't pray. You know, I don't pray out loud. They're just sort of bashful to pray. But the Lord told us to be bold and to come to him without any hesitance. Like we would go to my father and ask him something. Today, my daughter Christy flew into town with the baby being born. She flew in to support her brother. And so she was leaving this afternoon. And before she left, she came and asked me two favors. I said, is that why you flew into town? You know, she didn't have any hesitance. Come on, Dad, you know. And she wasn't, she was totally at ease with it. And that's the way prayer ought to be. We think of God high and lifted up on the throne, but he is our Father. And that's the way he pictures himself. And he wants us to call him Abba, Father. So let's look over to John chapter 16. Our first thought on prayer. John 16, 23 and 24. Remember, we're going through the ABCs, so we won't get through this whole list tonight, but the ABCs of prayer. John 16, 23. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. What's the A there? Ask. But I'm going to put a little more than ask. Ask in his name. I know that you could make this like an over fetish, but it bothers me when somebody prays and they say, please be with such and such, and we need such and such, and all the rest. Amen. It's like they forgot why they're there. And I know the Lord knows if we're coming to him. But I think it's really healthy for us when we get to the end of our prayer. Just remember, it's the reason I'm there and the authority that I have. We're asking in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so ask in my name. Let's turn over, if you will, please, to, I'm gonna dole some out here. Well, it's all one passage. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 22, please. And Jesus answering said unto them, faith. So what would be the B there? Believing. Okay. There are a lot of verses, and we're going to read some more of this. There are a lot of verses in the Bible says you have not because you ask not, but it also says this, you waver and you doubt. The Lord tells us to come confidently and in faith that he can do anything. I have been in the last year just reading over and over again the Psalms. And you know, David, when he talked to God, he says, God, before there was any answer, he said, thank you. Because he just believed it was done because God had heard it. So we need to pray in faith, believing. Look at verse 22 again, 11:22. He says, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt. There is the opposite of faith, isn't it? What does it mean to doubt? Let's just discuss that for a moment. What I'm praying and I'm doubting, how would that manifest itself out? Yeah, you're not really believing. Okay, what else? That's good. How else is that doubting coming up? How about after I've asked, I keep worrying? That's another thing. Or I keep doing the same things I used to do. In other words, I haven't prepared for the thing to be answered. It's like the person praying for rain and never gets an umbrella. You know, if you have faith, it's going to show up in your actions. as if it's a done deal. So doubt, I think sometimes we're praying for circumstances. We sort of almost put in our prayers, Lord, would you take care of this thing? And then we sort of say, now God, if you really don't decide to do that, and I know we're trying to, it's God's will, but we almost make it like we're not really asking. It's like we're putting in a back door like that we don't really believe. So in doubt, be thou removed. And but doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, that's pretty much speaking strongly to the Lord, isn't it? And then he says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things soever, is that a pretty wide door? Whatsoever things soever ye desire, when ye pray, there's our word again, believe, that you receive them, and what's the result? Ye shall have them. So that kind of praying makes a big difference, doesn't it? When we pray, believe, and whatsoever, and don't doubt. It's all those things about faith. In Romans chapter 4, it's the same thing. Let's go over there, Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to have to get my glasses come up. So I get down into a little darker here. One of the things that's true, well, here they are in my pocket. My implants don't do well when it's a little bit dark. They're a little fuzzy. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 19 first. Talking about faith, believing still. This is Abraham, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. How old was Abraham? Almost 100 years old. 100. Now his body was dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. How old was she? She was 84. He was 99, and she was 84. Okay? Can you imagine, ladies, 84 years old? An angel comes along and says, you're going to have a baby? He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Yeah. God said it, that settled it. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So when God answers prayer, where does all the glory go to? You ever wondered why you sometimes get in a situation where there's absolutely no way out of it? Could it not maybe be that God's glory could be seen in our life? And when we have lack of faith, we actually make it so God's glory is dissipated. Come on in, guys. Tonight we're talking about prayer promises. We just went through A and B, okay? A is asking in Jesus' name. B is believing in faith without any doubt. And we just talked about Abraham and his wife having a baby. Tonight we're not going to preach so much. We're just really trying to strengthen ourselves in prayer. And so let's go to the C, if we will, please. Well, let me do one more on believing. Hebrews 4, would you turn there? This verse, if you haven't got it marked in your Bible, everybody should have this known or known where it is. It's one we refer to, Hebrews 4, 16. Let's read it out loud together. This has to do with, if we have faith believing, this will be the kind of prayer we can pray. Hebrews 4, 16. Here we go. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may be able and find grace to help in time of need. You know, if we have faith, we can come boldly. Does that mean like we're cocky? No. But we can go with confidence before the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to the C. James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. Look at verse 8. I looked at verse 8 in chapter 3. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. I said, that's not the right verse. chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. What would be the C in prayer? Confession and cleansing. confession and cleansing. We try to come before God in our filthiness. And a good habit for us when we pray, maybe even at prayer meeting, we come here. You know, I've been around the block enough that I know it's real easy. You come into prayer meeting, pick on the Gonzaleses, they come to prayer meeting, you're swimming upstream to get here, right? Swim, swim, swim. And the kids do this, and the car does that, and all the rest. And by the time you get in the car, we're cranky with each other. I know you guys would never be that way. And by the time you get coming in into the door of the house, I've watched people come in, and you almost can see they're almost not talking. I mean, they've sort of got friction going, and it's prayer meeting. That really is not the way to come, is it? And I've actually seen couples sometimes sort of straighten things out in a church service or afterwards meet each other at the door and say, how. But you know, this, the devil tries to get it so we're not on praying grounds. So when we come to the Lord, it's no different than my mother would say, show me your hands. Are you clean? And I can remember my little brother, he said, I washed them. She said, Deb, I want to see them. He said, now go wash them. Okay. And we really need to think about that. We come before the Lord, that our hearts are cleansed through honest confession before the Lord. Does that mean I'm getting saved again? No, none of that kind of stuff. It just means I'm ready for good fellowship, nothing between my Lord and my Savior as I come. And that gives a brand new confidence. Think of it this way. Have you ever had something between you and somebody that was really a good friend with you? Can you look them straight in the eye? You can't quite, unless you're a real liar. I mean, your husband, your wife, something's between you, and you can't quite, but once it's all wiped away, that intimacy and that fellowship, and that's what prayer. We need to make sure that we have our cleansing. Be honest and frank in your confessions. If there's anything that's there, and often we will sing song, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way. Lord, do I have a presumptuous sin in my life? Are there things in my life that need to be taken care of? Now, sometimes sin can be things that I've omitted to obey. God's been telling us and telling us and telling us, and we've just been saying, no, later. And he's just saying, come on, let's get busy. So confession. So we have three letters. I'm just trying to help us. A is asking in. B is believing without, and then C is confession for cleansing, all right? Let's go to D, Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. And I'd like us to look at 105. This is one of my first memory verses I learned when I was in Bible college. It was right at that, and then out of Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, and then 105 was the next one that was on the list. So let's look at 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So what would be the D here? This one's going to be a little harder to get. Discernment? Well, that's a good one. It's delighting in the Word of God. As we pray, knowing the prayer promises, knowing the promises of God that we can claim. Have you ever gone to somebody, and maybe you were going to talk to them, and you said, do you remember when you said? They say, oh, yeah. Well, I'm asking. We need to delight in the promises that are in the Word of God as we pray. I don't think we're binding God when we do that. Like, you know, the charismatic side, I've got God in an arm hold, you know, he's got to have to do it. But God has told us certain things. It gives us a confidence as we delight in those promises that he's given us. I am a member of a couple different groups, alumni groups and stuff, and they always want you to join and pay your dues. And they always tell you there's certain benefits for belonging, right? And they list them out, bullet point this, this, and this, and this. Well, there's some benefits to being a child of God. And we need to delight in the promises of God's word. And his promises are true. And we can know there. You don't need to turn there. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written in my heart. Psalm 102. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. As we spend time in God's word, it's going to prepare our hearts for fellowship, sweet. It's going to give us confidence as we ask God in our prayers. So Bible reading, but more than that, claiming and knowing his promises and delighting and having confidence in those prayers is an excellent thing. Turn to Psalm 100, please. We should be able to quote Psalm 100. I've memorized at least 10 times in my life. We get this psalm out on what occasion? When do we usually say? Thanksgiving. There you go. That's right. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But we want to look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with what? Okay. So how does it, what is, there is our E right there. When we come before God, we need to enter with a thankful heart. I'm more guilty probably than anybody else. I come to God with lots of requests, but I often forget to say thank you. And I don't care who we are. I'm not trying to diminish God. But when we come to God with a thankful heart, I think our Father is just blessed that his children love him and are grateful for him. I'm trying to think of the word that went out of my mind. In America today, we have a lot of children that think that they automatically have certain things. Entitlement. Yeah. And you know, entitlement is really sort of an ugly attitude, isn't it? I'm entitled to everything. How about work for it? That's a political question over here, okay. But how do you think God feels when we come to him like, who are we? We're nothing outside of Christ. And how we should be thankful for the clothes we have, the money we have, the health we have, the salvation. Just list. And sometimes I think all we can do is why. But come to the Lord with thanksgiving. Let's just do a little exercise with that in mind. What is something you're thankful for in your life just recently? Maybe something God's brought into your life. Well, I'm thankful for our new granddaughter. That's easy. Okay, I got you all trumped right there. How do you like that? Okay. Okay, that's pretty good. Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else? What are you thankful for? It went out while it was still under warranty. That's a good one. I like that. You got it right. Yeah, we have a faucet in the boys' bathroom that went out about 2 months after the warranty. I know exactly how you feel. Somebody else? What are we? I want to give the Lord thanks tonight. It doesn't have to be just recently. What do we want to be thankful for? You get to go to New York just right there. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. We could go on with that. So that's the E, thankfulness. Evening and morning and at noon, I will cry aloud and he shall hear my praise. At midnight, I will give my thanks unto thee because of your righteous judgment. Okay, let's go to F. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We know this one, Ephesians 4:32. Can you quote that with me if you know it? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. That's right. So what would be the FB? Forgiving. Forgiving others their trespasses toward you. Once again, I wish I could say I was perfect on this, but if somebody has trespassed against me and I try to get on my knees, what does your mind try to keep going back to while you're praying? Yeah. All those thoughts. Mm-hmm. you know, if you give it over to the Lord and let him have it, he says, I will repay and take care of it. And you can just go on and just have better prayer life. Maybe that would challenge us tonight. This isn't a large group, but I can't help but think maybe somebody stepped on you recently, and maybe that's hindered you from really being able to focus on good prayer. As the Lord forgave us, we're commanded. And if we were to go over to the Lord, to the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus gave the Lord what's called the disciples' prayer, or the Lord's prayer. And at the end of the disciples' prayer, he says, your prayers are hindered because you don't forgive others. And that's a huge thing. So do you have something in your life maybe that somebody that you're having a hard time forgiving? In my notes here, holding a grudge, resenting, clinging to a hurt can hinder my prayers. I'm actually shooting my own self in my own foot in my prayer life. So forgiven, perhaps you might feel that somebody that was spiritual did something to you. In other words, in the church, somebody that should have known better, a pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, somebody who's been saved a long time and gets up and gives testimonies, and they stomp on you. That's hard. It really is. But we need to let the Lord have it and then go on in our fellowship in prayer with the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 18. This is similar to one that we looked at, but it's a little bit different. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks for the will of God in your life. Do you know one of the things that will hinder your prayer is when you don't understand what's going on? That ever happened to you? Why? Just give thanks for the will of God. Is God out of control? We all would say, absolutely not, Pastor. But yet we act like either he doesn't like us or he's out of control. But we ought to be thankful for the will of God. Have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? You ought to. Every Christian ought to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It takes Christians from the time of the early church being formed in the catacombs and takes it right up through the Renaissance or the Reformation and how they were jailed and Christians being fed to the lions and it documents them and how they were victorious. We've gone through nothing like that. But can you imagine if you were a person that they were referring to your circumstance and it was you in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, could you be thankful for God's will? That's a toughie, isn't it? I don't know, that would be awfully hard. Or if God took your husband or took your wife and they were martyred, being thankful for God's will is a big deal. So giving thanks, and there's a lot of verses we could, Philippians 4:6, we often look, that we come before God with thanksgiving for all men. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions for all, and thanksgiving be made for all. So we need to learn to be thankful. God's will is a perfect will, and he makes no mistakes. Let's turn to James chapter 4. I hope tonight you don't take these things as a rebuke in your prayer life. They're meant more to strengthen our prayer life as we go forward. James chapter 4, look at verse 10. We're looking for an H. What's the first word? Humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will he do? Yeah. So we've got to figure out what humble mean, don't we? What's humble mean? Somebody help me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have down in my notes here that humility and submissiveness sort of fit together. Yeah, yeah. I humble myself. I'm nothing. God's everything. And I know that I'm nothing without him. And I'm just a humble servant of the Lord. And I'm submissive to his will. Sort of keeping a right view of myself and a right view of God. As I would pray, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Yet we think we have to exert ourselves. What we need to do is humble ourselves to the hand of God. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God doesn't give grace to the ones that assert themselves. He gives grace to those that are humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When can God exalt us? When we get in the right position. I don't think there's any magic in this, but I'm telling you, just my own spirit, as long as I'm able, when I get together with other people, I like to get on my knees. What does getting on your knees do? It puts your face down, it gets your eyes closed, it shows your position of submission to God. I think it's a healthy thing for Christians to bow before God. And once again, it's no magic. I can pray to God like this. You know, there's no magic in it. But I think there's a definite act of humility to bow yourself. When I was in Israel several years ago, as you go into the church of the Nativity, they have built, there's a large door, but they've actually built in the door. And in order to go into the church of the Nativity, you have to bow down. You've been there, I think, probably. And they call it the Camel's Gate or something like that. It's not the Camel's Gate, but it's something else. But it was made during the time of the Crusades in the 500s, 600s. Because the Muslims would just ride right into the church and just smash it all to pieces. So they made it really small so that people had to bend over to come into the church. And then later on, it became actually an act of worship to come into the presence of the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, sort of a neat little thing. But I remember our guide making much about, as we approach Christ, we should automatically humble ourselves. We ought to bow down before him. Just a thought for us there. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. Looking for an eye. Can you find it in the verse? Intercessions. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. We talked about this about 4 weeks ago. What's an intercession? What does it mean to intercede, to be intercession for all men? What's intercession? Yeah. And tonight, in a few minutes, we're good, about 3 more minutes, I've got my mind. We're going to break off our Bible study and we're going to pray for the people that are out. What we'll be interceding for them, that they'll be safe, they'll have good reception, for the people that are getting the flyers, that God, you'll save some people through the Bible. We'll be interceding for the souls of men. We pray for missionaries. We're interceding for them. We're praying for the sick. We're interceding for them. But I often think of the idea of intercession mostly when people are away from God, whether they're away from God by sin or they're away from God by not being saved, that we intercede. Do you have somebody that you're interceding for regularly? Is there somebody that you really are burdened for? Do you make intercession? In a lot of verses it says day and night, doesn't it? But we have a ministry. Jesus intercedes for us, by the way, doesn't he? But we need to be interceding for others and begging God. I brought this out of my Sunday school class. A couple of you were in the teaching class. But one of the things I was reading recently about learning to pray for souls is really to try to figure out what has bound them away by Satan, has bound them away from being saved. Let me give you some examples. They've been bound by a false religion. They've been brought up Catholic, and they can't see how to get saved without going to the priest. And they're bound by a false doctrine, okay? Sometimes they're bound by some situation in their life, like, I don't understand why my baby died. And so they're bound by this. And so you intercede for them. You say, God, would you please help them to be broken from Catholicism? Help that bitterness to be broken. And in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is chapter 2 or 5, where it says, casting down every imagination and high thing, it says, these are the weapons of our warfare. And one of them that's listed is prayer. We have a weapon or a tool in our warfare to intercede for people. And I wonder how many times we go soul winning and all the other things that we do, and we forget to be interceding. And we got to be interceding for people regularly. We all have people we care. I don't have any doubt. We all have somebody we would like to see either brought back to God or they're just not saved yet. Well, let's do some interceding. Let's do some begging God. And God's told us to intercede for them. One more. Let's go to the K. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Looking for a K. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What's the K? So what would we say? What do we know? Yeah, we know that he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we can have, go back and look at it, confidence. That goes with boldness, doesn't it? So tonight, if I know I've gone before God, I'm cleansed and clean, and I know I'm God's child, and I'm claiming those promises. Do you see how this is all building up? And if we know that he hears us, then I can have confidence in my prayer. And this builds. To be able to confidently pray. And what builds confidence? Well, one is knowing that the person heard us. I'm getting more that way. My wife and I, we're getting so we don't hear each other as well. I used to always laugh at older couples. What'd you say? Huh? Well, just speak up louder. That sounds like our living room now. Okay. So you got to know they hear you. Okay. But I don't think we have to yell at God. So that's one thing in knowing. What else would help us have confidence? Knowing that he hears us. Knowing that he wants to intercede. What else? That was going down the list. You just got there earlier. Experience builds faith and hope and all that whole list, doesn't it? And as we grow as our Christian, you ever heard an older Christian pray, and they pray so direct and confidently? That comes from experienced answers. And you just know God's going to do it. I think one of the things that early on in my ministry, I would get really sort of frustrated, I don't know the word, scared, worried about something. But then I began to realize when certain things were going on and I'd seen God deliver over and over again, instead of worrying, you know what? I got excited to see how God was going to deal with this one. And that, because I know, there's one other no that we left out. I know God is able. And if he hears me, I know he's going to act, and I know there's not anything. We know this mentally, but experientially, we know that he's parted the Red Sea, and he's, you know, all these kind of things in our life. Boy, that we get on our knees and pray. It makes a big difference in our lives. So I'll go over the other half of these another time when I can find a group. But there's the first half of the prayer alphabet tonight. We're just going to take a few minutes and pray. Some of you came a little bit later at the end.